We haven't done one of these in a while. We figured today feels like the right day, although what if Wednesday here on the Midday Show. And I think we all know the stakes tonight, right? What if the Phillies don't win?
Obviously. What if we ain't got no game Friday?
Yeah, well, that's disappointing. And number one, we know the obvious. The season would be over. But, Hugh, I think there's a lot more beyond just game four of the NLDS on the line here for the Phillies. Now, this feels like a pivotal and kind of franchise-changing night for the Phillies, depending on how it goes. So they win, they come back, they win game five, away we go to the NLCS. They lose tonight, Hugh. There's a lot of big questions here and a lot of things we have to kind of look in the eye. So here's what I'm thinking on what's really on the line tonight. Number one, this might be their best chance. We talked about it a lot this year. I know they're going to have a lot of the same team next year, and they should be a good team again. But I watched the Mets, Hugh. They've got an owner with a lot of money. Juan Soto's a free agent. Corbin Burns a free agent. The Mets probably will be better next year. This was supposed to be like a reset year for them, and they're beating us. The Braves will be better next year with Acuna
back.
They'll
be healthy.
Of course, Strider, Riley. Hugh, next year, we could go back to being the third best team in this division without much, like, that's not even crazy to say. So this was a year they were supposed to win it. The Dodgers could be better next year with Ohtani pitching. Like, that's on my mind tonight. Hugh, this might have been, and it's still not over yet, but, like, this was supposed to be their best chance. They can't let this slip by.
Nah, they can't. And not only that, if this goes south, you have to start looking at things a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody's going to be in question. It's unfortunate, man, but there are going to be people that are going to be looking at Topper to think if he's the guy that can get us over the hump. And some of these young guys, I don't think some of the big money guys will be in that much trouble because they're going to be here, you know, with the salaries and everything. But some other guys like Bohm and cats like that, they might be looked at a little differently.
So let's hit the part about Topper you said, because, you know, last year when the playoffs ended, they gave Topper a one-year extension. You know what that means?
Means this is it.
That he has 1 year left. He only has 2025. So to me, they have three options when this thing ends. They could give him an extension, right? That would be the simplest one.
Yeah.
They could leave him as a lame duck, which means he only has next year left in his contract. But that means every time they have a tough moment last year, we're like, he's done after this year.
This is not his fault. You know, you could point to the button pushing and all this other stuff. The bottom line is, for whatever reason, these cats don't hit when they need to hit.
I agree with you. That being said, so there's three options, right? If let's say it ends tonight. They could fire him. They could extend him. They could leave him as a lame duck. Which are you doing? Are you giving him an extension as they get knocked out of the playoffs?
Well, that's the question, Joe.
Right. Otherwise, he's a lame duck, and it becomes a talking point all next year.
Because how are we gonna change our team the way it's presently constructed? I feel like you have a lot of guys right now that are talking the talk, but they ain't walking the walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that sticks out to me is early in the week we talked about how we even went out and incentivized a mock game to try to get guys, you know, locked into the series that we had against the Mets. And we've seen some of the same things that we saw last year. The bottom line is this. Your pitching wasn't that bad for the most part. Your hitting went super cold.
Yep.
And that's because, like, in a small sample size, cats playing hero ball, cats not moving runners, and all the stuff that you said that you weren't going to do. So, to me, that's the way this team is constructed, more so than the manager.
I agree, but it becomes, like, what do they do
with
them?
Yeah, what do you do? Yeah, because it's money. The unfortunate thing is money's involved. And some of these guys that you have, you're tethered to them for a long time.
Yeah, I'm not blaming this on Topper. I thought last year he actually hurt them more in the Diamondback series. We could quibble with, like, this reliever over that reliever. None of them have pitched well, really, and so far in this series. I don't put it on Topper, but his contract's a thing this offseason. The other thing you hit on it, the future of the roster. Is Bohm here next year after all this stuff?
I hate to be that guy.
I don't know if he is.
I hate to be that guy, but I think that, with me being fair and balanced, that it's important that I bring this up.
Mm.
Does anybody else notice that Alec Bohm kind of starts sliding when he went public with his relationship?
Well, you know what one of our last callers said? Like, you quoted Mick. Women weaken.
You know, I don't know if that's the case, but am I the only one that sees that?
Hugh. First, it's Rangers family. Now it's Bohm's relationship. No, you ever considered maybe the guy stinks? Does that ever cross your mind?
I'm not blaming anybody, ladies. I am not blaming anybody.
You are.
But I am pointing out the correlation. That's all I'm doing. Because when his relationship went public with the young lady from ESPN, that's when his game started to go south.
I mean, that's the truth.
Honestly, his game went the most south when he got a hand injury and was out of the lineup for a while.
And he was out of the hand. Because I just remember like this. He went to the All-Star. He had an All-Star appearance. Mm-hmm. Then he announced that he was dating somebody.
I don't know if he announced it, but it came out.
It came out. They were dating.
What do you honestly think is more likely? You.
What?
That he's just not that good, or he was being affected by an injury, or there's some voodoo magic going on because he publicly announced his girlfriend.
Because
he had the girlfriend before, it just wasn't public, so there had to be some jinx that you're talking
voodoo,
about here.
I'm not saying it's voodoo magic.
But what is it?
But it's pressure to maintain the relationship, a certain level of courting in the relationship that you didn't have to do. During the regular season.
Why? Because we're only talking about the moment they went public, not the moment they started dating.
That's a fair point. We don't know when it started. Maybe she was around during his hot streak.
No, but I'm just saying, when you're out in public and you have to date and your dating requirements, maybe they were too great for him during the baseball season.
Ew.
I'm just saying.
He just fell off. He's not that good. He did this last year, too, before he had to. Okay, what happened then? What happened last year, then?
I'm going to do the Harvard study. What happened
last year? Did he have a public relationship
appeal? Maybe I don't know.
Maybe this is what he does.
Guys, why don't you
both? All I'm saying is there's a correlation between the two.
I think you both should calm down. He was compared to Scott Rowland by a caller 20 minutes ago. Okay, Scott, Hall of Famer Scott Rowland. All right, another one that caught my attention, Hugh. Is Trey Turner the shortstop next season? He'll be here. I'll be shocked if he's not here.
Where are we moving him to?
Left field. They have bad outfield play anyway. He hits enough to play the outfield.
You know what's funny about you asking me that? You're asking me that after that situation. And again, people, I'm not picking on him because that wasn't what lost the game for us last night.
Didn't help.
But that was one of those situations. Now, I know, Joe, you get a lot of heat for some of the takes that you have on a day-to-day basis. And one of them was, if there was a moment in the game where we were winning, what was it last week and you said, would you take him out?
Yeah, like ninth inning, you're up a run. Would you put Sosa in for defense over him?
When that moment came up, even though the score was what it was, I saw your vision.
You saw the vision.
I saw your vision.
It's a dangerous spot to see my visions.
No, it was the game was done, but I look at that as a potential momentum swinger in that situation. You gun somebody out, you get them out at second.
It's a good throw by JT.
It's a hell of a throw.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, damn it, Joe was someone. It's like Joe might have been on
something. I think that's
right there.
The reaction a lot of people have when I might be right on things. Oh.
No.
Oh, was he right? Oh, I hate it.
I was like, damn, I kind of see what Joe talking about. Right
one
there.
More thing on the line tonight, Hugh, and this actually might be the biggest one. I think you felt this last year, and I know you weren't here the year before that in the playoffs, but you got here right after that, and then you were with us for last year. Hugh, I think the way people feel about this team and the way people talk about the Phillies changes if they lose tonight. They've lived a very charmed life. They've been beloved. For the most part, like Bryce and Schwarber.
I don't think that pandering your chief thing hunt like it used to.
Yeah, there's a very thin line between beloved and we're going to start talking about you like the Sixers if you blow this thing. And that's – the reality is the reality. They've had good moments in the playoffs the last few years. But, Kyle, if they don't win tonight and they go backwards 3 years in a row in the postseason or 2 years since they got to the World Series – the feeling on them and the way people react to them, it's going to change.
It's like the Sixers. We need to print bracelets. What would the Sixers do?
Well, they'd roll over and die tonight is what they would do.
Yeah, well, that's how this town's going to view the Phillies. Like, it's going to be, and I hate to say this because baseball season's so long and we just now had a season where we started filling the ballpark. There's going to be a get me to the postseason.
Yes.
And I'll believe it when I see it type mentality from this fan base. It sucks. Because it's not supposed to be like that with baseball. Like, all this taught us is that the 162-game ride and winning the division might not really mean anything.
Well, baseball has created that with the extra rounds.
It really has.
Baseball is, now we love it here, but nationally it's more like hockey than it is anything else. It's just like get in and then anything happens and the regular season really isn't that meaningful. But the way we talk about these Phillies, because I think they're really liked. I think it's the most liked team. in Philadelphia in terms of the personalities. The Eagles are still number one in just day-to-day, but Hugh, people like these guys. They like Bryce. They like Schwarber. People seem to like Trey, and they all seem like nice guys, but they're not going to be treated the same way if they lose this.
Yeah, and can I just point out something else that's going to happen? Brian Snicker's going to have an I-told-you-so moment.
Sure is.
He's going to have an I-told-you-so moment.
He will.
And it's going to be bad.
Well, right now, the Dodgers are down 2-1.
It's going to be.
Both byes are down.
Boy, I tell you, it's going to be one of those things where it's still inconclusive data, but it's going to start to look like, oh, wait a minute, maybe we don't want the bye. Maybe we need to just play all the way through.
Yeah, baseball may have stumbled upon a problem here where the teams that have the bye every year just get knocked out.
This was the Phillies' chance to prove that there are both. Like, that either of these two things can happen. The hot team can come in, or you're just good. Like, in 2022, the Phillies ran into the Astros, who were just good.
Right.
We were hot. They were just good. Last year, I feel like we were sort of the just good team, but we were hot toward the end of the year, especially compared to the Diamondbacks, but the Diamondbacks were the hot team.
Yep.
We had a chance to show, like, hey, sometimes, like, just being better it is okay in a baseball playoff series. Like, that will be able to carry you through. But we totally are failing at that.
Well, they are. But all that being said, it's a 5-game series. It is not over until someone wins 3. It is 2-1. Before the series, I said Phillies in 5. 2-1 Mets was one of the possibilities through 3 games. That's the way it worked. It's a very short series. I'm not willing to say this thing is over yet, even though the signs have pointed the wrong way from the jump. 215-592-9494. Terrence in Springfield is up on WIP. Hey, Terrence.
Terrence.
Hugh, Joe, Carl, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
I'm going to say legacy, legacy, legacy. Urgency, urgency, urgency. Man, I texted Joe last night, man. I told him, the way these guys went out the last 3 years and the way these guys came in the playoffs, they haven't had any urgency. The Mets are like the team with the more urgency than the Philadelphia Phillies. And I don't know what it is. These Philadelphia teams getting these number one seeds. I hate it when the Philadelphia team get number one seed because they can't front run. I don't know if it's about pressure. I don't know what it is. But here's the facts. I don't want to hear anybody saying anything about Topper, about Kevin Long. I want to start getting these players, like you said, Joe, Harper, Schwarber, Boom, Stott, Castellanos has been okay. But most of all, that bum Trey Turner. He's not a game changer in the lineup. He doesn't do nothing to get your team over the hump. He's not a difference maker at all. And here's the thing. We got a Mets team that got in the playoffs on a heartbeat, and they're stuffing us out right now. Our bullpen is trash, and we all love Bryce Harper. I love him too. He has great at-bats in the playoffs, but guess what, guys? He also has poor at-bats in the playoffs. He came in game two, and he had a great at-bat, hit the home run, and everybody changed their way at the pursuit at the plate. But yesterday, he resorted back to the same thing, chasing pitches to the outside. The book's out on the Phillies right now. You know what you got to do to these guys? Pitch them to the outside. They're going to swing at it. They always do. The book's out on them. And I told Kyle when I answered the phone, I don't want to hear anything else about the Philadelphia 76ers because the Phillies are becoming the Philadelphia 76ers. If they lose this series, I don't want to hear nothing about Joel Embiid. Because you know what Joel Embiid can say? He hasn't been healthy in the playoffs. You guys have been healthy. And you're not doing nothing but choking and choking and choking. And I'm getting tired of it with these Philadelphia teams, especially the Phillies. You know, Bryce Harper's the greatest Philadelphia player in history. No, he's not. He hasn't won nothing. He's going to be on the same level as Charles Barkley if he doesn't never win a ring. So I want to hear about this best player stuff. Get it done in the playoffs. Do something in the playoffs. You guys are sitting here getting spanked and getting mocked by the Mets. It's embarrassing. And I was happy with my emotions going into this playoff this year. I said, you know what? I want to see what they do. And I didn't call yesterday because I want to see what they're going to do. And what they do, nothing. Hit the ball. Hit the damn ball. It's not rocket science. Like you said, Hugh, it's not rocket science. Like, what are you guys doing out there? You get paid all this money. I want to hear about no contract next year, Harper. And Terry, get out there and win some playoff games and win a ring.
Good call, Terrence. Terrence, a good phone call. I love the passion. Terrence brought it today.
I'm not doing the music, though.
That's all right. I didn't expect music today. That's for Friday if we win.
You're tired of Rocky, the Rocky analogy.
Well, just wait. Wait. If the Phillies win tonight, Kyle's all over that Rocky music button Friday.
I feel like all this rah-rah pump-up stuff is so phony baloney.
Well, I think it's more anger and frustration than it is rah-rah pump-up. Right. That felt to me like calling them out, which they deserve to be called out.
That's fine. That's fine. I just don't need to hear, like, Red October. Sorry,
not today. Well, you know, Chris actually was down today.
Oh, I know he was.
As far as the Harper thing goes, look, he's obviously performed a lot in the playoffs, but the point that Terrence made there is true. You know, Bryce Harper's been in the Major League since 2012. It's 2024. We're moving towards, if they don't come back and win, it's more likely he does end his career like Marino or Barkley or Barry Bonds, where these great players, Hall of Famers,
that
don't ever
get it done in the postseason.
Yeah, and baseball's harder because it's not like football where you're the quarterback or basketball. Like, he needs a lot of help. He can't do it by himself, but he had a moment last night. He didn't hit.
Yeah, and speaking of that, somebody was trying to compare Coach Sirianni and Topper together and talking about how we're trying to get Coach Sirianni out of here and keep Topper. And I was trying to tell him that baseball is different because in individual moments, it's you against the pitcher.
And the coach can set you up in football and put you in a good spot. Baseball, what are they going to do? They send you to the plate, right?
Yeah, that's it. It's a different analogy. So I get what you're trying to say, but you can't compare the two. It's one of those things where Bryce, it's getting to the point now where he feels like he's just the lip service guy. And if this goes bad, then I think people are going to start looking at him like that.
Well, I feel like there's been an assumption that Bryce is going to win one. And if I had to bet right now, I'd still bet he would win one. But if they don't come back and win this series,
and it's not over,
this was their best shot. It's not over.
It's not over, but it feels like you let one get away, and you're getting a year older, because I think that's what Philly fans are starting to feel a little bit. Like, you're in the sweet spot. You're still in the sweet spot, but you're starting to get a couple years removed from being at the top of your game.
It's about urgency. I mean, not just for the series, but for the future of the franchise. It feels it's super, super urgent. David in Maple Glen. What's up, David?
Okay. I actually think if you would re-rack the tape to a year ago, approximately, we'd be looking at the same we'd be listening to the same conversations about this team against the Diamondbacks. So the person I point the finger at more than anybody else, general manager. I mean, people can pick over Thompson's moves. People can pick over how the players are used, all of that stuff. But look at what Dombrowski has done since 2022 with a blank checkbook. He went out and he spent $330 million on Turner. He went out and he spent $75 million, $80 million on Walker.
Mm-hmm.
That's close to throwing Kimbrel, Soto, Dominguez. You're talking about $500 million on those players. He looked at the way the team went out last year. He got to this year. He saw the first 100 games. He saw the Phillies go 65 and 35. How did they get to 65 and 35? Because their pitching was so much better than anybody else in baseball. Not because they were hitting, because they weren't hitting. They were just getting pitching that was letting them win games with 2, 3, 4 runs. So when the pitching started to go south, which inevitably it was going to, he did nothing to improve the lineup. So, well, he did, actually. He brought in Austin Hayes. So how do you win a World Series? How do you win a National League pennant with these players in your outfield? Hayes, Marsh, Rojas, Wilson, Clemens, and Castellanos.
So, David, on top of it, I agree with you. The last two deadlines, his acquisitions were Rodolfo Castro, who I don't think we ever saw in a Major League game for the Phillies, an outfielder from the Pirates last year. And this year, it was Austin Hayes. And what, David, he missed the boat both times. And here's what kills me. Last year at the deadline, Tommy Pham changed teams, and he hit a home run against the Phillies in the NLCS. I think it was a Game 6 off of Nola. And, David, this year, Jesse Winker from the Nationals changed teams. And who did he hit a home run against last night? The Phillies for the Mets. Like, there were outfielders available that wouldn't have cost top prospects. Winker this year, Pham last year, and we got Austin Hayes.
There are always guys you can get like that. You got to find the right guy, and you got to go get him. But the main point here is this team looks exactly the same at the plate as last year because it's largely the same players, and it's an entire group of players, as you just mentioned, that are in their 30s and are declining players. Hate to say it, but that's the way it's going. So you've got to supplement this core. You really do. And he not only did he not supplement it, in some ways he made it worse. I mean, that outfield, it's remarkable in a way that they won 95 games with that roster, in my opinion.
I agree. Well, the starting pitching before Ranger went out, that David, we appreciate, was so good, that covered it all. That made up for a lot. Unfinished business, our coverage of Phillies postseason baseball brought to you by Delaware Valley Honda. Hopefully that coverage continues tomorrow and Friday and next week. All right, 215-592-9494. What does Elliott Shore Parks put that loss on? Who does he put it on? What did you think about tonight? We'll talk to him next. Then your phone call's coming up. We'll get everyone in here. Topper speaks to me at 1:35. We'll carry it live on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.